Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We are in our brand new fall season, and it really feels like it's time to just check in with some of our correspondents, with some of the great people that have been coming on the show for years, and get some great content from them, but also just see if they're okay. And I'm excited to talk to Gretchen Holcomb today from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road. And she's going to give us a whole overview of Carlsbad Caverns, which we've never talked about on the podcast before. But before we do that, I just want to say hello, Gretchen. How are you?
Hi, Jeremy. I'm doing, you know, pretty well, all things considered.
All things considered. Now, your summer plans, like so many of us out there, really got changed quite a lot, right?
Right. We were supposed to do a long trip to Michigan and do the Upper Peninsula and all of that. And we ended up, after a lot of agonizing back and forth, canceling that. And we did a couple of shorter trips closer to home this summer instead. So
very similar for us. I mean, we had the Grand Canyon planned and we ended up camping in our region. And it was sad, but I don't regret that decision. So we're super excited to dive in and to learn all about Carlsbad Caverns. Gretchen's going to give us sort of an overview of the park, give us some of the cave tour options, talk about some of the activities, and give us a few options for campgrounds. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From amazing water zones to mini-golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 75 locations in the U.S. and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. And we're in mid-October right now. There's still a couple of Halloween weekends left. If you want to make some last second reservations, you might be able to grab an empty site or an empty cabin and enjoy one of the kind of epic, legendary Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Halloween weekends. But the important thing is that you need to remember it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park. Visit jellystonepark.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. So, Gretchen, get us situated with the geography. Like, where is Carlsbad Caverns? Is it out in the middle of nowhere? Is there anything else nearby that you might also want to combo?
Right. It is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's the very southern tip of New Mexico is where the national park is located. And it's about 300 miles from Albuquerque and almost 500 miles from Dallas. So it's a ways to any big cities. But it is only about half an hour from Guadalupe Mountains National Park in Texas. So we didn't do this, but that might, if you're looking for a week-long trip, then that might be a good thing to combine it with.
I am sort of infatuated with New Mexico. We've only gone once. It's so beautiful. And for a New Jersey boy, it's so far away, you know, and we flew in and it was a long flight with a couple connections. But then landing in Albuquerque, it is just such a lovely state. And it seems like such a great state for RV travel. So let's dive in. Tell us about the caverns. I mean, what is the main attraction here? What are you going here to do?
Well, the main attraction is going to be the caverns themselves, which are really spectacular. This was part of a longer trip for us, and we did several national park sites that had caves, but Carlsbad kind of just blew them all away. It's so huge, and there's so many beautiful formations that it's just on a whole nother level from anywhere else, any other caves that we had been in. So that's definitely the main reason you're going to want to go there. But there is a lot of, you know, it's a national park, so they have as is usual, there's a lot to see there. And they do have a lot of hiking trails on the surface. There's some shorter ones where you can just go. It's a really pretty desert landscape. And they have some shorter ones that would be kid-friendly. There's like a half-mile Chihuahuan desert nature trail. And then they have longer hikes that will take you like 8 miles and a lot of up and down and elevation gain if you're looking for a more challenging hike.
Now, it sounds like a somewhat similar experience to like Mammoth Caves where, I mean, you're going for the caves, but there's more there than just the caves.
Right. That's what I would say. And we were only there for one full day, so we didn't have a chance to do a lot of the surface hiking. So, you know, maybe I would have something else to say if we had had more time there. But for us, the cave was definitely the best thing that we saw.
No, Gretchen has a great
main reason to go.
Gretchen has a great blog post about this on boxycolonialontheroad.com, correct?
Right.
And you have a lot of great pictures of the caves. And one of the things you pointed out that I thought was really interesting was that, like you said, like if somebody's claustrophobic, this is maybe the place to go to see some caves because the rooms are huge, or at least the rooms you went into are huge and not so scary to somebody that doesn't like small spaces.
Right, definitely. And I'm a little bit claustrophobic. I think I'm a little bit everything phobic. But I didn't have any problem with it. And that was definitely something that stood out right away. I was like, oh, this isn't scary at all. It doesn't feel, it's just huge. It's hard to convey in words or even in pictures. I think I mentioned in the blog post, I wished I had had my wide angle lens because it's really hard to even show in pictures just how huge the big room, which is the main tour that you do, is when you're in there.
Now, you made some self-deprecating comment in your blog post about how it's hard to get great pictures, but you actually did get some great pictures. I mean, I get your point that the wide angle might have been cool, but you were able to get some awesome pictures of the inside of the caves. So you can check some of those out at thervatlas.com in the show notes for this episode, but also you don't want to forget to head over to Gretchen's really cool blog, Boxy Colonial on the Road. So how much does it cost to get in? Like, what are tickets like, reservations? How do you approach this place?
So the fee to, I don't believe, there wasn't when we went there, and I think this is still true. There's not an entrance fee to get into the actual national park, but if you want to go into the caverns, it's $15 for adults, and it's free for kids up to 15. And it is also, if you have an America the Beautiful Pass, that will cover your admission. There are some ranger-guided hikes that have an additional fee. We didn't do any of those, but there's a few different ones. Right now, there's only one available with COVID, but normally they have a few different ones you can pick from for a fee. I think they're usually somewhere like under $10 would be the usual price for the ranger-led tours.
So what else do we need to know? What did you guys do? What do you recommend doing? What did you not do that you'd want to do if you went back?
Sure. So sort of what most people do, I think, if they're doing a first-time visit to Carlsbad is to just go into the cavern and explore on their own. That big room is what it's called that I mentioned before. So if you don't have anyone in your party with mobility issues or anything, what I would recommend doing is taking the natural entrance trail down into the cavern. It's about a mile or a little over a mile, I think. And you're going to go down over 700 feet in that mile hike. So it's very steep, winds all around, but there's a lot of great stuff to see on that trail down into the cavern. And then when you get to the bottom, you can do, I think it's a mile and a quarter hike through the big room, and it's a self-guided tour. And then you don't have to walk back up that 700 feet. You can take an elevator back up.
Now, multiple questions here. Let me walk through all of that. So the natural entrance is really dramatic, right? I mean, it's like really visually kind of stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a big, you're looking down into this giant opening and it just goes down into blackness.
And then you see a gift shop.
And when you get to the bottom, yes, that's kind of, there's a little snack bar. It's very limited. I think they sell like granola bars and a few pre-wrapped sandwiches and drinks and stuff. But my understanding is it used to be a full-scale cafeteria down there. This is, you know, again, 700 feet underground. So it's kind of a cool little throwback to what tourism was like in the 50s and 60s. You know, you think of feeding the bears at Yellowstone, and you can eat your lunch underground in the caverns. So
your blog post had such great sort of commentary on this. So I just want to pause on this and talk about this. So like you said in the blog post that if they were designing this national park today, they would probably not have a gift shop / cafeteria inside the caves. Like what did you, I think you're right, but what did you mean by that for our listeners?
Right. I mean, I think if they did this now, if this were a new national park and they built a snack bar underground and sort of interrupting all the beauty of these caverns, everyone would be horrified, and probably rightly so. But I think when you look at it now, there's kind of a nostalgic aspect. Like, well, since it's there, it's kind of cool to see how things have changed, how like our attitudes towards natural places and the national parks has changed over time.
That's such a great point. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, it was this enthusiasm and this maybe commercialism that was just part of that time period that also was put into play in the national parks. Now, what's interesting to me after reading your commentary about it is like we have this Great American Outdoors Act passed and we're going to have all this money flooding into our national parks for repairs and things like that. Like, I'm wondering which direction they go, because I mean, I think you're right. Currently in the moment, it would be like, no, you don't put a gift shop in the entrance to a gorgeous cave. But I think that that's up for grabs. Maybe that'll change in the next 10 or 20 years. And I personally have mixed feelings about it because I'm a sucker for a gift shop, right? Like entering the caves and being like, oh my God, I can get a cold drink and a magnet. There's part of me that likes that. But then I certainly do understand like, okay, you could put the gift shop somewhere else, right? It doesn't have to be in the heart of the caves. Now tell us more about the elevator, because that was there's a little drama there.
Right. Well, my understanding is now they have done a big multi-year project on the elevators and renovating them, and that now, you know, knock wood, they've been working very well. And in fact, I think right now with the pandemic, they're not even allowing people to walk back up. You can walk in on the natural entrance trail, but they're requiring the elevators back out.
But why would that be? Like, I would think then you're in a small space.
Traffic.
Oh, it's a one-way traffic
thing.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I don't know. That's just, I was looking at the website to see how they were handling things, and that, I believe, is what they said they were doing. But for a long time, there was a lot of drama about the elevators, and they would break down, and you would read news stories every couple months about people getting stuck in the elevators, and they would have to haul them up 700 feet. So they've done a lot of work, though. They put a lot of money into it, and it sounds like now they have the kinks worked out, and you can pretty much count on being able to get up safely in the elevator.
But the day you were there, the ranger was like, well, I hope it works.
Right, because I had done research, because that would be a horrifying experience to get stuck in the elevator, especially for someone who's, again, a little phobic of everything like me. So I asked about it because I had read that they'd had trouble, and he really wouldn't commit to anything. He was like, well, I hope they'll be working. So
Gretchen, I have been stuck in an elevator when I was a teacher in my high school, and one of my students saw me getting in and then saw, kind of like heard the elevator freeze. And the joke was he saved my life and got me out of that elevator. I've also been in an elevator that fell 3 stories and landed on the springs. That was really fun too.
I don't think I'd ever get in an elevator again if that happened to me, but
I still do. So once you're down there, how long did you spend down there? You did the self-guided thing. How did that work?
We did. I mean, you just, again, used to explore on your own. I think we had our snack first and used the bathrooms, which is another nice feature that they probably wouldn't put in it if they were developing it today. And I don't want to think a lot about how the sewage works 700 feet underground, but they're very nice modern bathrooms.
Expensive ejector pump, I would imagine.
Something, yeah. So then we started on our big room, and you do that at your own pace. It's, I think, 1.25 miles, and I think they say to give yourself an hour and a half. I know we took a lot longer than that because there's just so much to stop and look at. We were also doing, you can rent at the bookshop before you go down, you can rent handheld audio tours, which I really recommend because they had a lot of great information. But again, it might take longer to get through there if you're stopping to listen to all of those things. It must have been at least 2 hours that we were in there. But again, we were taking our time because there's a lot to see and it's just beautiful. And there's something new and different everywhere you look.
All right, we're going to come back in a second. Gretchen's going to give us some more details. We're also going to talk about the Bat Flight program, which sounds like it was a highlight for you guys. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. The brand new JFeather Micro Series is rugged and ready for adventure, but also lightweight and easy to tow. The five floor plans in the Micro Series are packed with high-end features like 16-inch Goodyear off-road tires, roof mount solar prep, and pre-wire for an inverter, so you can easily use your 110 outlets, even if you're camping off-grid. The included 17-inch Blackstone griddle is also a Jayco exclusive. The side Nerf bars and optional roof and bike racks make it easy to bring your bikes and kayaks along to the mountains, ocean or lake, or wherever the open road leads you. The Micro Series has floor plans that are perfect for solo travelers, couples or families that can't wait for their next great outdoor adventure. To find out more, visit jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun. All right, welcome back to the show, Gretchen, and to everybody. Just a reminder, we're here with Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road, kind of her joint blogging adventure that covers home and away, RV adventures, and all kinds of different stuff she does at home as well. So we're back in Carlsbad Caverns. Gretchen, tell us about the Bat Flight program, which sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So Brazilian free-tailed bats migrate from, I assume, Brazil, and I think probably other places in South America, to Carlsbad Caverns and spend their summers there inside the caverns. They're there from about April through October most years. And every night they come out in a giant group of thousands and thousands of bats to go hunt for food. So you can watch that anytime the bats are there. You can watch it just from the parking lot or wherever. But starting Memorial Day and running through October, they have a formal program where they have an amphitheater where everyone can sit and a ranger who gives information about the bats and answers questions. And then you just sit there with everybody else and you watch the bats come out. So we did that. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to jump to something from your blog post because I was excited reading your blog post. No photos allowed, right?
No photos allowed, right. And you have to be completely silent because they explain this is the bat's home and we don't want to do anything to bother them or to upset them. So if you do have really young kids, you might want to think about whether they're able to stay quiet and still for as long as they'll need to, because you do need to get there fairly early to get a good seat depending on the time of year. And you'll be there for a while, and they don't know exactly when the bats will come out. So she'll tell you, she announces everybody needs to turn off their phones and be quiet. So it's a while that you're just kind of sitting there waiting on the bats. But it's a really cool experience if you are up for that and you don't have kids who can't handle it.
So did your boys just absolutely love it?
Yeah, it was really great. I did. Our youngest was 4 at the time, so it was a little tough for him. But it's worth it if you can do it.
All right, so now let's talk about some places to camp. All right, I mean, we're a little bit out in the middle of nowhere. What are a couple of campground options for those who are taking an RV trip and want to make reservations maybe for next summer to see Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico?
Right, so there are a couple of campgrounds closer to the park, but as far as we could tell from reading the reviews, most people opt to do a little farther away to get sort of better campgrounds. Two that are really popular are the Carlsbad KOA. A lot of people rave about that. It gets really good reviews. Where we opted to stay was Brantley Lake State Park, and both of these campgrounds are going to be about 45 minutes from the park and then a little closer to the town of Carlsbad where they have a lot of shopping and restaurants and everything. So we stayed at Brantley Lake. It's a New Mexico state park, and we paid the whopping price of $14 a night for a water electric site there. So you
that's
can't
about as
that
cheap
deal.
As it gets, right? I mean,
right.
Like Utah, you hear $12, $14. You don't hear those prices in the Northeast. That's pretty terrific.
Right. And we had a really nice site. Backed up, there's a – Brantley Lake is, I guess, a reservoir. But there's boating available there and I think fishing. And our site – we had site 19, which I read afterwards in a review – somebody said, this is the best site in the park. And I hadn't read that before, but we just happened to book that one. And I would agree with that assessment. If you can get site 19, it's really great. But all of them are very spacious. ours backed up to the lake, and we had a little trail right from our site going back to the lake. So that was cool. But they all have tons and tons of space, and they have like a pavilion, like not just a picnic table, but there's a roofed pavilion with walls on two sides to block the wind. So you have a really nice picnic area and all the sites. So, the bathhouses do not get great reviews. We didn't go in them much because we were just there two nights, so we didn't really need to use the showers or anything. When we went in them, they seemed clean enough, kind of dated, but some people, if you see complaints of this park, it's mostly about the bathhouses, so that's something to be aware of.
Now, there are some COVID restrictions, and which obviously these can change incredibly quickly. So anyone listening, you're going to want to, you know, go online and get super current information. But what do you know about the COVID restrictions at this point?
Right now, it looks as if New Mexico state parks are only open to New Mexico residents. And I think they've only very recently even opened up for that. The KOA is booking to everyone, but I'm pretty sure as of right now, New Mexico does have a 14-day quarantine for out-of-state visitors. So things to keep in mind if you want to go soon.
Absolutely. Now, tell us, like how long did you stay, and how long of a trip should Carlsbad Caverns be? I mean, if somebody's planning some overarching New Mexico road trip, I mean, how many days should you allot for Carlsbad Caverns, and how many days did you guys stay around there?
We were there two nights, so one full day. That was pretty good, I think. There are some other things to check out in the area, or if you want to do some hiking in the park, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be a bad thing to have 2 or 3 days there. I don't really think you need more than that if you just want to, if you're mostly interested in the national park. Again, you can combine with that Guadalupe Mountains National Park or any or other parts of West Texas. I mean, if you can combine it, if you can do it as part of a longer Southwest trip, it's going to kind of, you know, that would be ideal.
All right, we are going to come back in a second. I just have a couple more questions for Gretchen. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. AquaBio is a new twist on holding tank treatments. It offers today's RVers a formaldehyde and bronopal-free formula, which is what we all want these days. Thetford's next generation of holding tank solutions is campground-friendly and complies with California regulations. We don't want to get in trouble in California. The quick-acting holding tank treatment eliminates odors while digesting waste and toilet paper to prevent clogging, all without any harsh chemicals. And it's proudly made in the USA, for goodness sake. Thetford's new AquaBio is formulated and tested safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. And we've been doing some cool Thetford giveaways in the RV Atlas group. And I just have to say that I love our friends at Thetford because they are actually RV people. These are people that go camping on the weekends just like we do. They are real RV owners there, and they know what we want, and they do a great job giving it to us. So check out Thetford.com for more information. So Gretchen, you canceled the UP trip this past summer. Are you rescheduling it for next summer? Or are you going in a totally different direction? Because I mean, for those that don't know Gretchen as well as some of our listeners, you guys do tend to do a pretty epic summer trip every year. So what's on tap for next summer?
Well, we were thinking of rescheduling Michigan, but then we realized that it's my in-laws' 50th anniversary next summer, and they live in New Hampshire. So I think the current plan, you know, knock on wood, is that we are going to meet them in Cape Cod for a week and celebrate their anniversary there. And then we have a lot of – then go up into – and this is where things get really iffy, Canada, and see Montreal.
Well, Lord willing. I mean, Lord willing. I hope and pray we can all get back up into Canada. That would be fantastic.
Right.
Well, that sounds like a great trip.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Well, keep us posted because you're in our general neighborhood of the universe, and we now have a 50-amp hookup at our house. So if you want to stop in New Jersey and just kind of stretch your legs and relax a little bit, I'll show you Bruce Springsteen country. I'll give you a little tour.
We'll definitely keep that in mind.
All right, Gretchen, thank you so much. We'll see you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Go Power, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and RV SnapPad.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, join us over at the RV Atlas group on Facebook.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.